بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه آية 2 فصل لربك وانحر. The fa here, فصلي, it's not وصلي. There's a difference between the two. Among the objectives of the fa is the fa is used للتعقيب والمباشرة. It's used for haste as opposed to the waw. If I said, for example, دخل خالد ومحمد, see the word, means خالد and محمد came in. But if I said دخل خالد فمحمد, the فا means straight away محمد entered, immediately after. It's called فا التعقيب. فا التعقيب. والمباشرة, so it's something which is done immediately. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that after you've been granted this kawthar, Ya Rasulullah, then hasten to the prayer. In other words, that teaches us, if Allah has granted us something, whether it's a new job, a new car, a righteous spouse, some children, let's hasten to thanking Allah. That's very important. Many people delay, I'll thank later. You know, I'll pray later. فَصَلِّ, hasten to the salah. And we're going to mention why the salah, فَصَلِّ, not فَشْكُر, not give thanks. Among the purposes of al-fa is, this is the fa of as-sababiyya also. The fa of the sababiyya. The sabab in Arabic is the cause. The sabab. So, ma sabab, what's the cause? You see? So, anta sabab, you're the cause of this. So, fa as-sababiyya, the cause. Like you mentioned last night, when Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, we've seen your face look towards the heavens, Ya Rasulullah. فَلَنَوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Fa, because of that, Ya Rasulullah, it's the fa of sababiyya. Because of that, we're going to do this. It's the cause. So Allah Ta'ala is using here also fa of sababiyya. So this fa has two objectives and purposes. In other words, because Allah has granted you al-kawthar, then pray. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, you see? So that's the cause and effect there. So the fa here has two purposes. We said fa of ta'qib wal-mubashara means something done quickly, immediately, rush to the prayer and not rush in the prayer. Big difference. Okay? Rush to the prayer, and try to pray on time, but don't rush in the prayer. Many people, they're praying so quick, it's like breakdancing. No, we have to be mindful of that. So let's rush to the prayer. Pray on time. Think of this salah as a maw'id ma'allah, an appointment with Allah the Most High. 5 daily appointments. If you had an appointment to catch a plane or a train, you wouldn't miss it. You try to get there early, not on time. As the saying goes, if you're not early, you're late. Right? So get there earlier. So with the salah, are we treating these as appointments with Allah the Most Merciful? People, if they have an appointment with their boss at work, they'll make sure they get on time. Always arriving late, doesn't look good. You have egg on your face, you become embarrassed. Try to get to the salah, not just on time, but earlier. As-salatu ala waqtiha is among the greatest deeds before Allah the Most High. So this fa, we said, fa at-ta'qib al-mubashara, quickly, and also fa al-sababiyya, which means, my brothers, or sisters, the cause. Because Allah has granted you al-kawthar, fasalli, then pray because of that. In other words, the greatest way to thank Allah for a gift is the salah. No doubt about it. That's the greatest way. You know, if someone was to give you a gift, bottle of perfume, new phone, shout your lunch, the least you can say is, thank you. Right? Thank them. And the least we can do is thank Allah the Most High for what He's given us. That person may think, Allahu Akbar, yani, how am I going to thank Allah for all that He's given me? You know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the kawthar, and we explained last night that kawthar is so, yani, so much. One, we can't even begin to enumerate and count. Now, how does one even thank Allah? Where does one begin? You know, when someone's giving you so much, like the brothers from Canberra always give me, mashallah, always taking me out for food and dinner, and, you know. Tabarakallah, I don't know even sometimes what to say in return. It's just, you know, too generous. You know, like, oh, just speechless. I don't even know where to begin thanking you. Well, Allah made it easy for us. Now, you don't have to even think about it. I'll tell you, fasalli. Subhanallah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be praying all night. All night almost. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, why are you praying all night? And all of your sins are forgiven. What did he say? أحسنت. أفلا أكون عبدا شكورا. Shouldn't I be a grateful slave? In other words, the best way to be grateful, to thank Allah, is the salah. Also, بعد فتح مكة. After the conquest of Mecca, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do immediately? What did he do? He prayed, as-salah, you see, to thank Allah for that victory. You see, once again, another evidence. Also, there's sajda to shukr. What's that? Now, the prostration of thankfulness, when you get something, a blessing. And that is used, by the way, for a one-off blessing, not ongoing blessings. You don't do sajda to shukr for eyesight, for example. No, but if you were, for example, blind, and then Allah gave you your eyesight, then you do sajda to shukr, you see? So sajda to shukr is something that is not for an ongoing blessing, but a blessing that, you know, happens that you weren't expecting, or Allah warded, you know, harm off, you know, warded away harm from you. Yes, that's right. Also, he would come after a journey to the masjid and pray. That's true, yes. And what we were illustrating there was the prayer was used for thanking Allah. So as we can see, he'd pray all night after Fatah Mecca, also sajda to shukr, and we know the sajda. When you see someone in sajda, you know they're praying, right? It's one of the main aspects of the salah, one of the main symbols. So why fasalli and not fashkur? Give thanks, right? Among the wisdoms is that shukr can be a little or a lot, right? So, shukran laka ya Rabb, khalas, I thank Allah. That's a little bit. But shukr can also be a lot. You can continuously thank Allah day and night. Whereas the prayer is not something small, not something minor. It's huge in Al-Islam. It's the second pillar of Al-Islam. Allahu Akbar. And it's the only act of worship that was legislated to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens. It's huge. The only act of worship. And it's the only act of worship that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without an intermediary, without Jibreel alayhi salam, straight from Allah to His Messenger. It's huge to indicate that when we pray, there's nothing between us and Allah. Pure tawheed. Pure tawheed. Nothing between us and Allah. Not like other religions. You go to the father or the pastor or someone at church and you just go to someone else and then you need to confess your sins to them and then say a few Hail Marys and off you go. You know, we don't go through anyone. If you look at the word قُل in the Qur'an, قُل means say, right? Amazingly, whenever this word comes in the Qur'an, it serves a different purpose and role. And it also has a meaning when it's removed. If you look at the questioning of the believers and the kuffar towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'd ask him a lot of questions. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be told to answer them, and this is recorded in the Qur'an. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ يَسْأَلُونَكَ يَسْأَلُونَكَ They ask you. And Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ say this, قُلْ say this. Say this in reply. Say this as the answer. You find that in the Qur'an approximately 13 times. They ask you, قُلْ say this. They ask you, قُلْ say this. There's only one time that comes, they ask you, and there's no قُلْ. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When they, my slaves, ask you about me, there's a قُل. I am surely, no doubt, I'm near and close. The قُل is taken away. Why? Because it shows us pure tawheed, pure monotheism, يعني monotheism between us and Allah. Not even the قُل is there, not even a messenger that comes between us and Allah. The dua is straight between the رَبْ, the عَبْد and رَبْ, and رَبْ. Straight, subhanAllah. So the قُل is taken away. Although you find usually وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ, you find قُلْ. But here وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And the fa is used also, as we said, تَعْقِيبًا مُبَاشِرًا, straight away. Straight away Allah Ta'ala is close, near. You make a dua, Allah Ta'ala will surely respond. Even if we don't believe it, even if we don't see it, even if we don't witness the results. So we said it's not فَشْكُرْ, it's فَصَلِّ, because the salah is huge. It's huge. It's an enormous act in accordance with the enormous gift. Right? An enormous gift entails enormous thanks. The enormous gift was Al-Kawthar. So just to say, شُكْرًا يَلَّا, I've given thanks. No. Not sufficient. Allah has given you so much. We need to also worship Allah and pray a lot. And the salah is an example of that. Number two, Why is it fasalli and not fashkur? Among the wisdoms is that the best way to thank Allah, as we said, is the salah. The best way. Yes, shukr is a great way to thank Allah. To say alhamdulillah, ashukrulillah. But something which is better, the salah. The salah. Also, why fasalli and not fashkur? Number three, this act, the salah, is fardu ayn. What's fardu ayn? An individual obligation, ahsant. Right? Individual obligation. Every single Muslim has to engage in it. You can't say that someone else is going to pray for me. No, every single Muslim has to pray. Whereas, not incumbent upon you 5 times a day to say, Ashukrulillah. You don't have to say it. If you do, it's good. You see, the salah is an obligation. Whereas, saying Ashukrulillah and thanking in many other ways is not necessarily, as opposed to yani, many other actions. Now let's look at the wisdoms behind فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ أَنَعْ لَنَا. We said Allah Ta'ala uses the plural for greatness and not out of numbers. Someone will say, okay, why isn't it فَصَلِّ لَنَا, pray to us. Because prayer is only for Allah. If it was فَصَلِّ لَنَا, now a person can fall into shirk. You see, Allah doesn't want that. He hates shirk. So to avoid shirk, there's no confusion. Although Sa'adab, we have granted you al-kawthar, but فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, only pray to Allah. Even though the angel may yani, bring the revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a role to play. Jibreel alayhi wa sallam, he has a role to play. But then pray to him, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. You see, pure tawheed once again. A doctor said, فِي الْقُرْآنِ كُلِّهِ لَا يُوجَدُ مَوْضِعٌ ذُكِرَ فِيهِ ضَمِيرُ تَعْظِيمٍ إِلَّا سَبَقَهُ أَوْ تَبِعَهُ إِفْرَادٌ بِمَا يُفِيدُ وَحْدَنِيَةَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. He said, in the whole Quran, there's never a place where the ضمير of تعظيم, the ضمير, the pronoun of greatness, like we, is not used, except before or after the إفراد, the oneness of Allah is mentioned. Why? To prevent shirk. Always. Some people ask, why is it we? As we said, he mentions we, Allah mentions we, but it's out of the plural of greatness, not numbers. And so there's no confusion to the matter. Allah always, when the plural, we said, or the dhamir of greatness is used to yani indicate that it's not plural, always, either before or after, Allah Ta'ala always mentions His oneness. For example, in the أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْفَرِ, we have granted you الْكَوْفَرِ, then it's فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, the Tawheed. Also, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, the نَشْ, the نُون, نَحْنُ, we did it. Did we not نَشْرَحْ, yani open up and yani your chest and purify your chest. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. But then after, وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. You see, to your master. So it shows you again, the وَحْدَنِي, the oneness of Allah. So anytime you find the plural being used, as we said, it's translated as the plural, like we, you'll always find the tawheed either directly before or after to avoid confusion. Now the word one har. This is translated as sacrifice, you know, offer the udhiya, the qurban, you know, to slaughter an animal, distribute its meat. Why these two acts, the prayer and the sacrifice? Al-Shaykh Muhyiddin al-Darwish mentioned in his book I'ram al-Qur'an, this highlights once again the two important principles of Islam: goodness towards the creator and goodness towards the creation. As we said, the salah is for the creator, the sacrifice is for the creation. Number two, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, combines the worship of the body and the worship of the wealth. You see, you find many acts of worship are to do with the worship of the body, right? And there's the worship of the world, sadaqah, for example. You see, so this combines both, this ayah. Number three, why these two acts of worship, the salah and the sacrifice? Just as the word kawthar includes many blessings, the prayer includes many acts of worship as well, right? When you're praying, don't think of it as one act, no. You're doing many things along with it. For example, there's the wudu, purification, there's the adhan, there's dhikr, there's Qur'an, dua, prostration, the five prayers, optional prayers, Eid prayer, Jummah prayer, night prayer, khushu', humility, concentration, fear and hope. You see how there's so much encompassed in the salah? Another benefit of why salah was mentioned and not just fashkur? Because the kawfar includes many things, the salah also includes many things. So subhanAllah, yani it's precise and accurate once again. And these two acts, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, they join and merge all the pillars of Islam. They join and merge all the pillars of Islam. The salah, فَصَلِّ, includes the shahada, right? In the adhan, in the iqama, in the salah itself. And the salah, there's pillars 1 and 2 taken care of. And you find the nahr, is part of, as we said, helping the poor, helping the needy, and that's found in the zakah. You see? And you find it's about sacrifice, and it's found in Psalm. You're sacrificing your wealth for the sake of Allah. You're sacrificing your money, sacrificing your food, sacrificing your drink. It's part of sacrifice. And Hajj also combines the wealth, the worship of wealth and the worship of your body. Especially, of course, for those who have to travel there. You see? And also there's the sacrificial animal at Hajj time. And there's the Salah at Hajj. And going a step back, in Ramadan, for the fourth pillar of Islam, we do a lot of salah, tarawih. So you see how فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, and in one ayah, it includes and encompasses all the pillars of Islam, subhanAllah. Comprehensive ayah. Now let's end with, in terms of ayah 2, the benefits of وَانْحَرْ and not وَذْبَحْ. They're both translated as slaughter, and the wisdom behind this coming in the middle. وَانْحَرْ. The scholars have posed the question, لِمَاذَ قَالَ وَانْحَرْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ وَذْبَحْ. Why did Allah Ta'ala say وَانْحَرْ and not وَذْبَحْ? Unfortunately, the verse translated as sacrifice. You know, الذبح, ذبح is translated as sacrifice. The scholars said, النحر في اللغة العربية يتعلق بنحر الإبل فقط ولا تستعمل ما غير الإبل. نحر is only used for إبل. What's an إبل? Camel. But what type of camel? Good. Female camels. And ibil also means kathura, to mean a lot. Abalat al-ibil kathurat. Ibil has the meaning of abundance. What's the first ayah about? Abundance. Subhanallah. It's about abundance. The ibil is the female camel. Okay? Bear that in mind as we finish the explanation. He said, وَيُقَالُ ذُبِحَ الشَّاهِ وَقَدْ يُسْتَعْمَلْ الذبح للجميع وللبقر والطيور والإبل. He said, the ذبح, however, is not only used for camels. The ذبح is used for cows, is used for sheep, is used for camels, used for many other animals that you may sacrifice. You see? Whereas one har, the nahr, is only used for, what did we say? The camel, but the female camels. Why? Allah chose the animal that the Arabs loved and honored the most. But it was the most expensive form of wealth. The camel was very expensive back then. Because what does a camel provide? What does it provide? Transportation, food, nourishment, right? Offspring, ahsan. Okay, transportation is enough. Think of your car, right? Think of your car. To sacrifice that for the sake of Allah, it's huge. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to not just give a little bit, He wants us to sacrifice. And we're only benefiting at the end of the day. And that wealth that we own, it's on loan to us. And that loan has to be paid back one day. But imagine, you didn't just have a car, but you had a car that gave birth to other cars. Think of it as if, as though you own, for example, a car factory. So one female camel is like a car factory because it produced offspring. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, one har, not just any camel, the female camel. And that was something which was considered a lot to the Arab because they used it not just for a car. Imagine you had a car that gave birth to other cars, and it gave you food, and it gave you drink. And it gave you medicine, because we all know that we can use camels, it was used for medicine. Imagine that. Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala wants you to sacrifice that? Yes. Why? Sacrifice a lot, because He's granted you a lot, Ya Rasulullah. Al-Kawfar. To the wisdom of Nahar being used as opposed to Al-Dhabah, although the verse translated as sacrifice. So the scholar said, just as the gift of Allah was great, the act of worship needs to be likewise, needs to be great. And that's why Allah didn't also say, تصدق, give صدقة. person can give $1 here, I'll give sadaqah. Give me, and I'll just here, I'll give $1 in return. No. SubhanAllah. If Allah is going to, if we're asking Allah to give us, what are we going to do in return? Allah doesn't need our worship. We need our worship. And Allah doesn't get harmed when we sin. No, we get harmed. One may ask, okay, the scholars mentioned, لِمَاذَا لَمْ يَقُلْ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ لِرَبِّكَ. Okay, why is it? وَانْحَرْ. Why is it? وَانْحَرْ لَهُ. Pray to your master, but it's وَانْحَرْ and sacrifice. Why isn't it? Sacrifice to your master, right? It's a valid question. It's pray to your master and not sacrifice to your master, because the prayer is always worship, and worship is only for Allah, whereas the slaughtering is not always worship. A person may slaughter, right? Not because they're doing it as an act of worship, they just want to eat. They may not have the intention for worship, you see? So it's فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, but it's not وَانْحَرْ لِرَبِّكَ. You see? Because the salah is always for Allah, it's always worship. That's number one. And number two, every Muslim must pray فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. But not every Muslim must slaughter. So it's left general. You don't have to slaughter. If you don't have money, you don't have to do it. But every Muslim must pray. That's why it's فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. And there's no excuse for not praying. No excuse. You can't stand, sit. You can't sit, lie down. Even in jihad, bullets flying over your head, terrifying experience, great fitna indeed, trial and tribulation of the utmost degree, yet you're not excused for leaving the salah. The salatul khawf, even in jihad. The only time you're excused is you're unconscious or you're dead. One of the two. You're unconscious, you're in a coma, or you're dead. No matter what, never leave the salah. No matter I was traveling, I was in the airplane. No, you have to pray even while traveling. There's a traveler's prayer. So finally, find the prayer, subhanAllah. It's no excuse for leaving it. And by the way, as a side point, we're not allowed to sit. We're not allowed to start a prayer sitting if we're able to stand. Many people, when they're flying, for example, they pray in their seat, sitting down. No, la yajuz. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقُومُوا قِيَامًا, right? قَامَ قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ, right? قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand up. Stand up to Allah. And in the salah, قُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, in the vow to obedience. The only time you're allowed to sit is when you can't stand, you're sick with some form of disability or some other excuse. You see? A valid shara'i excuse. But those who are fine, they're healthy, and I want to sit on the plane praying because they're embarrassed, no. Alhamdulillah, you know, millions of Muslims travel every year, and they ask, you know, the stewardess or whoever's on the plane, they can go to the back so they can pray. No problem. No problem. They will allow it. And if they don't allow it, then that's discrimination on their part. They can actually get sued. So know your rights. And lastly but not least, the salah you find, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ, here, it's in the middle. It's in the middle, right? Ayah 2 connects to Ayah 1 and Ayah 3. We're going to look at Ayah 3 shortly, and we'll see that this ayah is dealing with the haters. إِنَّا شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرُ. Those who hate you, Ya Rasulullah, those who insult you, those who mock you are abtar, truly cut off from this world and the hereafter. So you find Ayah 1, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ, is talking about the good. And إِنَّا شَأْنِيكَ الْأَبْطَرَ, is talking about the bad. The salah is in the middle. In other words, the salah is used for good times and bad times. Allah blesses you, it's a good time, use the salah, you thank Allah. When the haters hate, you turn to Allah. You turn to the salah to pray to Allah and ask Him for help. You know, when people hate upon them, they insult them, they accuse them, they lie against them, what do people usually do? They call each other up, right? You know what so-and-so said about me? They call the Habibs from Bankstown. Okay, Sydney is a place called Bankstown, all the Habibs go. All the Arab brothers. They call the Habibs. They call their mates. You know what so-and-so said about me? Come pick them up. Allah is saying, you know, don't go to the creation, come to me. Don't go to them, go to Allah. You know, why look for a shoulder to cry on when you have the ground to prostrate on? That's the answer. When people hate, turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Allah says, be patient of what they say. Be patient. وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. And صَلَى بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, another meaning, that as a ta'bir, as an expression, means a salah. سَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ means a salah. It's another expression used for the salah. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, turn to the salah. That's the answer. When the people hate, they want to accuse you, they want to mock you, they want to hate on you, that's the answer. And inshallah Ta'ala, we'll conclude here with those words for Ayah 2. We'll have a short break. Actually, I believe we're going to pray, yes?
Yeah.
Shortly, what time? 1:10, he said?
Quarter past
one, we start the Salah.
The
Adhan, okay. Is there, I believe there's lunch as well, provided?
Inshallah.
That's okay, what time? So we know how to... Okay, good, that gives us a big break. So we'll pray, lunch will probably arrive at 1:35 or 8, and then we will come back, inshallah ta'ala, for the final session. And it's appropriate because we've got one more session to go with the last ayah, one more ayah. Ayah 3, Inna shani'aka wal abtar. And here we're going to see how Allah, from the kafir granted to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was how Allah dealt with his enemies. That's from the kafir as well. Any good given to Rasulullah is from the kafir. So how Allah dealt with his enemies is a great thing. يعني خلصهم منهم. He, Allah ta'ala, relieved him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from them. So that's from the kafir. We're going to look at how Allah Ta'ala dealt with his enemies. We're going to mention specific examples from the seerah and also the meaning of the ayah in particular. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. We do have 15 minutes to the prayer. So if you'd like to ask a question or two, or maybe repeat something that we mentioned, not a problem. Yes.
In some cases, like in the Muslim, like Australia, when I understand not real, some cases then we don't know where to stand right there. And some cases, normally, most of the time, you can join to Salah, Maghrib, and Isha, and Zohar, and Asr, but in some cases, it's not possible if the prayer is 9 to 10. So during that time, you need. So what is that case while sitting and doing the right or not?
Okay, Bismillah. It's a loaded question, brother. Inshallah, try to answer and give it justice. With the traveler's prayer, now with combining prayers and shortening, remember this, Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, that shortening the prayer is for the traveler. So, for example, I'm traveling now from Sydney, I shorten al-qasr. Combining is for hardship. So, shortening is for traveling. Combining hardship. So whenever you're in a hardship, doesn't mean you have to be traveling. You could be in any hardship. You can combine. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this. He combined the salah. بغير سفر ولا مطر. He combined the salah, the salawat, at times, like for example Maghrib and Isha, without travel. Wasn't traveling. Let's just say for example, it's raining heavily, and it's Maghrib time. We're all in the masjid, raining heavily, and there's a lot of it's going to cause many Muslims to not come for the Isha prayer. So the Shaykh, the Imam out of his wisdom, he'll combine Maghrib and Isha together at Maghrib time because of the hardship. So we said joining is for hardship. So if there's some hardship, you can't pray later. Okay, then you're allowed to join. Due to bad weather, okay, due to a need, due to some form of hardship. So if there's some hardship, you're allowed to join. I'm talking about sitting down, we're going to get to that in a moment. But when you're traveling, you can shorten. Now for me, I'm traveling. But it's not really hard for me here. I'll take the concession, I'll shorten my prayer, but I'm not going to join. I'm praying my prayers, okay, on their time. I'm not combining them. Because there's no hardship for me. But let's just say you're camping and you're with the brothers or you have a camp, for example, and it's hard to get everyone to come for every prayer 5 times a day, then this is when you will join and shorten, you see? So in general we said, joining is for hardship, whereas shortening is for travelling. In terms of sitting, yes, brother?
There's another question related to that.
Sure.
If you are not, like suppose in this condition, some of the people come and they join too as well, where there is no hardship, while traveling, two together, so that's unacceptable or that's still okay?
Well, maybe to them it is a hardship, I don't know. To you it could seem, I'm not sure. So, Allahu A'lam, if someone's traveling and it's not hard, for me personally, it's not hard for me to
one of the
pray the prayers on their time.
The first thing he said, it's better to not
Allahu alam, I don't know. What's better? Allahu alam. But that was a general rule by Ibn Taymiyyah. I'll look into the situation and see what these scholars said about what's better, inshallah. Maybe in a break I'll try to look up the fatwa. And in terms of sitting down, my brother, as we said, the general rule, a person cannot sit unless they have a valid reason. So if you're on a plane, no, that's not a valid reason because you're embarrassed to ask the stewardess. No, we're allowed to, you know, as we said, it's from our rights to not be discriminated against religiously. So you ask them, and alhamdulillah, many Muslims do this. They ask and they go to the back, they'll find a room for you. And at the end of the day, you know, if they're not going to let you, so be it, just stand where you are and pray. Pray where your area is. And, you know. Sorry, brother? And try to find a suitable place, and at the end of the day we have to obey the Creator and not the creation. I'm sure they're not going to refuse.
What I'm saying is, if you're walking back to the plane, you might not be able to go, you can stand here, but you might not be able to go down on the Sudu because they may be taking trolleys for coming.
With the back of the plane, no, alhamdulillah, there's ample room. As you know, that's where they prepare food and so forth, and they congregate and so forth. There's plenty of room. All planes have an area for the back where, you know, staff go. Okay, if there's a toilet there, avoid those areas. But there's other areas where it's not with toilet. There's not really a surrounding toilet. At the end of the day, if there is a toilet and you've got no, then what you can do is you get a mat and you ask them for a blanket. And all planes have blankets. There's always ways around it, you see. Shaitan will come and whisper and place these ideas that it's going to be impossible. No, it's not impossible. You know, everyone is doing it. Alhamdulillah, they've been doing it for years, praying on planes. So it's not going to be different for us. So as we know, there's blankets. So you can grab a blanket, put on the floor. No problem. And at the end of the day, we're the customer. You know, they're not going to tell us what to do. We have to say, look, customer's always right. You know, they're not going to refuse you. You're giving them, say, look, we pay you to do your job. So do your job, right? Make me feel comfortable. And you're not making me feel comfortable. You know, and like we said, rarely they will oppose. I don't know if anyone has tried and they've been rejected before. Every single time, alhamdulillah, it's worked for me. Okay, if there's turbulence, then wait till the turbulence is over. And if there's always, I'm sure, you know, like you said, with you saying this, they may have trolleys with food. You know, they're not serving, you know, for the entire trip. So find out when meal times are, find out when the prayer time is, and that way you can plan accordingly. You know, when people want something, they set out a plan. When you value something, you plan out for it and you work hard to get it, right? University, you plan out your timetable, your degree. You know, when you want something, you want to get a great body, you want to start lifting weights or doing some exercise, you plan out your program. You see, when you want something, you really work hard to get it. So if we really want the pleasure of Allah, we really want to pray, wallahi, we'll find a way. You know, a robber, yes, brother.
And also, it's not a reason of hardship. So,
yes. Yes. Yes, that's right. Then this is a religion of ease, not a religion of hardship. Allah Ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you, not hardship. And the scholars of fiqh would say, إِذَا ضَاقَ الْأَمْرُ اتَّسَعَ. When a matter becomes restricted, it automatically necessitates ease. When something becomes hard, automatically it becomes easy. That's what the Sharia does for us. So, as you're saying, if there's, you know, sometimes we're traveling and the prayer times are restricted, then alhamdulillah, as we said, Islam allows the joining and shortening of the prayers. You know, and there's still 24 hours in a day, no matter where you go. You see, so there's going to be a lot of hours where you can, yani if you combine Dhuhr and Asr, it's plenty of time until the next prayer.
What you're saying was that you could pray at individual times. You said that joining is for hardship and shortening is for salah. So when you're traveling by plane, is it all right? I'm not asking whether it's wrong, but joining the salah, because each time you go to the back camp, if you're going to the family, you can't go to Jama, by the way, you're Jama in the seat. You have to go individually, and everyone has to take turns. So it's going to be obstructive, restrictive.
Very good question. We said shortening was for traveling and combining was for hardship. So your situation that you just mentioned with people going back and forth, it's going to be hard. Isn't that a hardship? It is. It's a hardship. It's a hardship and a half. So because of that, you do both. You combine and you shorten.
Yeah, but you know what I'm
No. We didn't say you have to pray on time. We said traveling, you combine. You shorten. And if it's hard, you can combine. So you combine Dhuhr and Asr. Any time between Dhuhr and Asr.
Yeah, you can.
Yes. Sure.
In subcontinent, I saw people are very Hadith as well. I don't know how attentive the Israel is. After Isha, they will sit and pray. A two rakat.
Yeah, no problem. The Sunnah prayers, you can sit.
Yes. I don't know how authentic is there.
Yes, it's authentic. Sunnah prayers, optional prayers, you don't have to start standing. You can just sit in your seat and pray all night. And I want, a brother was traveling in Ramadan. So he stood for the Fard prayer, Aisha, but he sat the whole time for Tarawih. No problem. Praying Tarawih on the plane.
Yeah, but the rewards are less. Even the Rasulullah is praying on the camels. After the Witr day, they had two rakats.
Yes. My Lord was it. No. Yes, correct. So Alhamdulillah, this is, as you said, brother, as you highlighted, this is a religion of ease. And like we said, if there's going to be hardship while traveling, you're allowed to combine your prayers. You know, so no problem. Sure, that's okay. Of course. No, it's good to follow a madhab, not a problem. Sure. Now with the length of shortening and combining, what's the length of travel? There's a big difference of opinion. You know, you'll find over 20 opinions. It's a battlefield in terms of difference of opinion amongst the ulama and the scholars of Islam. However, a lot of them have agreed to 4 days. 4 days. However, like we said, there's room for difference of opinion in Al-Islam, and there's different types of differences. Ikhtilaf is not necessarily a bad thing. There's different types of ikhtilaf. There's ikhtilaf tadad, ikhtilaf tanawwu, ikhtilaf sa'ir. Ikhtilaf tadad, dad means opposing truths. For example, the Shia say we pray 3 times a day. That's a ikhtilaf, they oppose us, but it's wrong. So that's opposing the truth. That's called ikhtilaf tadad. That's one example. There's ikhtilaf tanawwu. Comes from the word nawwu. In Arabic, nawwu means type. In other words, various types of truths. Differences that are all true. For example, after the ruku' you say Sami Allahu liman hamida, then you can say Rabbana lakal hamd, or Rabbana walakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana walakal hamd. 4 different ways, 4 different authentic narrations. That's called ikhtilaf tanawwu, various truths. A person says Al-Kawthar means the Quran. Another scholar says Al-Kawthar means river in Jannah. Another person says the Kawthar means the prayer. Did they oppose each other? No, it's all part of the abundant good Allah gave His Messenger, you see? Ikhtilaf tanawwu, no problem. Then there is ikhtilaf sa'ir, permissible differences. For example, with moon sighting. Moon sighting, unfortunately today it's moon fighting. Okay, it's always, especially in Sydney. Okay, you follow that opinion, I follow that opinion. It's not moon sighting anymore, it's moon fighting. A person wants to follow global moon sighting, another person wants to follow local moon sighting, another person wants to follow regional moon sighting. All of those are permissible. You can't say one is wrong. However, there's the preferred option of going that which your community follows. That's the best. What the majority follow? Inshallah. You go with what the majority follow. That's the best thing. Inshallah. That's in terms of moon sighting. JazakAllah khairan.